Well, we trust that you all have a good 4th of July tomorrow and a good time of getting together with family and friends and celebrate the 4th. We certainly have something to celebrate in this country, that we were started out as a God-fearing country and based our laws upon the Word of God, and that's why we came to be the great country that we have been through the years, and we hope and pray that we can continue that. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 3. We'll take the time tonight just to read this whole chapter of 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And he began to build in the second day of the second month in the 4th year of his reign. Now these are the things wherein Solomon was instructed for the building of the house of God. The length by cubits after the first measure was 80 cubits, and the breadth 20 cubits. And the porch that was in the front of the house, the length of it was according to the breadth of the house, 20 cubits, and the height was 120. He overlaid it within with pure gold. And the greater house he sealed with fir tree, which he overlaid with fine gold, and set upon thereon palm trees and chains. And he garnished the house with precious stones for beauty. The gold was gold of Parvaim. He overlaid also the house, the beams, the posts, and the walls thereof, and the doors thereof with gold and graved cherubims on the walls. And he made the most holy house, the length whereof was according to the breadth of the house, 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits. And he overlaid it with fine gold, amounting to 600 talents. And the weight of the nails was 50 shekels of gold. And he overlaid the upper chambers with gold. And the most holy house he made two cherubims. And in the most holy house he made two cherubims of image work and overlaid them with gold. And the wings of the cherubims were 20 cubits long. One wing and one cherub was 5 cubits, reaching to the wall of the house. And the other wing was likewise 5 cubits, reaching to the wing of the other cherub. And one wing of the other cherub was 5 cubits, reaching to the wall of the house, and the other wing was 5 cubits also, joining to the wing of the other cherub. The wings of these cherubim spread themselves forth 20 cubits, and they stood on their feet, and their faces were inward. And he made the veil of blue and purple and crimson and fine linen, and wrought cherubims thereon. And he made before the house two pillars of 35 cubits high, and the chapiter that was on the top of each of them was 5 cubits, and he made chains as in the oracle, and put them on the heads of the pillars, and made 100 pomegranates, and put them on the chains. And he reared up the pillars before the temple, one on the right hand, the other on the left, and called the name of that on the right hand, Jachin, and the name of that on the left, Boaz. Let's pray. Father, now again we ask you for your wisdom to open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Thank you for giving us the Bible. Thank you for giving us your Son. We might have everlasting life, to be set free from our sin forever. We do thank you, and we pray that you'll speak to our hearts tonight, that we might be drawn closer to you, that we might see this temple that's so clearly brought out for us. We thank you and love you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Solomon had clear instructions to build the temple. You see that. That's very important for us to understand. He had clear instructions. He was given exactly the measurements, a cubit, probably around 18 inches. It varies, because a lot of times they went by measurements of the length of a man's arm or so forth, or from the elbow to the to the up to here, and there were different ways they measured, but the cubit is approximately 18 inches, so you can figure a foot and a half. You just take the 20 cubits there and cut it in half and add 10 to it, and you got 30 feet. So you can kind of figure up the feet that way off of the cubits, but that's only approximate because we don't know just exactly how long the cubit was, probably about 18 inches. But he was given the exact measurements for this temple, how to build it, to build it exactly to the instructions, verse 3. Now, these are the things wherein Solomon was instructed for the building of the house of God. He had clear instructions. That's important for us to remember. Gold was the thing of this temple. You can read that, verses 4 to 10. It just comes back again and again. Look there, the porch was in the front of the house. The length of it was, according to the breadth of the house, 20 cubits, and the height was 120, and he overlaid it within with pure gold. Overlaid within with pure gold. There's fine gold used in verse 5. The gold was the gold of Parvium. In verse 6, verse 7, he laid the doors, the beams, the posts, the walls thereof, and the doors thereof, overlaid the house, tells us there, with gold. And the most holy house, the length thereof was according to the breadth of the house, 20 cubits by, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits, about 30 by 30 feet. And he overlaid it with fine gold and amounting to 600 talents. Verse 9, the weight of the nails was 50 shekels of gold. And he overlaid the upper chambers with gold. Verse 10, the most holy house, he made two cherubims, image work, and overlaid them with gold. Everything in this house is being overlaid with gold, gold, gold in the temple. That is really something to remember as we look at the temple there that Solomon built in the Old Testament. Verse 6 tells us that there are precious stones for beauty. The house, he garnished the house with precious stones for beauty. There's the precious stones. And if you go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, just back a few pages to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and look at verse 14. Here is David preparing for the building of the house, the temple. It says in verse 14, he gave of gold by weight for the things of gold, for all instruments of all manner of service, silver also for all instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments of every kind of service, even the weight of the candlesticks of gold, and for their lamps of gold by weight for every candlestick, and for the lamps thereof, and for the candlesticks of silver by weight, both for the candlestick and also for the lamps thereof, according to the use of every candlestick. And by weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread, for every table, and likewise silver for the tables of silver, and also pure gold for the flesh hooks and bowls and the cups, and for gold the golden basins. He gave gold by weight for every basin, and likewise silver by weight for every basin of silver, for all the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. In all this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me even all the works of this pattern. So David was following the clear instructions of the Lord. And then go back to 1 Chronicles 21. First Chronicles, if I can get it out, verse chapter 21 and verse 14 there. Now, we know what had happened here. What we find out had happened was the children of Israel had sinned, and David was moved by the Lord to number Israel, and because of that sin of numbering Israel, God brought judgment on Israel and told David, because of his sin, that God was going to bring judgment, and what would he choose? And David chose to leave it to the Lord, because he knew the Lord is merciful. And so the Lord, in verse 14, sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it, and as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, "It is enough, stay now thine hand." And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite, and David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. David saw that, and it moved him. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. I believe I would too. If I saw an angel there with the sword ready to destroy, I'd think destruction's coming. And David said unto God, Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I, it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O my Lord, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David, that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord, and Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And David came to Ornan. Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, "Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people." And Ornan said unto David, "Take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all." And King David said to Ornan, "Nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor burnt offerings without cost." So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. And so we notice that here he paid 600 shekels of gold by weight for this place. He said he would pay for all of it. He was not going to take a gift from Ornan. He realized that this sin had to be paid for. And so he did. He paid the full price. Now, go to 2 Samuel. Back to 2 Samuel chapter 24. And begin in verse 21 there. It says, "And Arinol," that's another name for Ornan, "and Arinol said, Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Arinol said unto David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. And all these things did Arinol as a king give unto the king. And Arinol said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Arinol, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which thou doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen. Now we know he paid that 600 shekels of gold for the threshing floor, the place there, and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. So we have him buying the whole place there and then also paying for the threshing floor and the oxen. So he's paying the full price. And he did this with 50 shekels of silver for the threshing floor itself and the oxen and all the instruments that were there, and 600 shekels of gold for the whole place. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Now it was this place that had to be bought with the full price. This is the place where Jesus Christ would be sacrificed for our sins. This is the place where the temple would be built, and the holy place would be there, and it would be in this same area that the Savior would pay the price for our sins. Ornan wanted to give it, but that man cannot have a part. Man cannot have a part in salvation. Jesus Christ paid the full price. That's a picture that we have here. And when it came to the building of the temple, they had to clear all the wood, the threshing floor that was there. They had to clear all the wood, the stubble, the hay that was there, the wood, hay, the stubble. They had to clear all of that out to build the temple. And then they used the gold. Everything was built, and they garnished it with and overlaid it with the gold and the silver and the precious stones. Well, the Bible tells us that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. And God uses these same events that took place to teach us some things. And we want to go first of all to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and notice something here. The temple was to be built according to the instruction. So important for us to remember. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll look down to verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. On this foundation, we're to take heed. Remember now, in the temple, they had to clear out all the wood, hay, and the stubble, get this threshing floor out of there, lay the foundation, and build the temple. And then it was overlaid with gold. Many of the instruments in the temple were made with silver, and it was garnished with precious stones. And he says here in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day, that's the judgment seat of Christ, which we're told about 2 Corinthians 5:10, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, if you put gold, silver, precious stones to the fire, what are you going to get? You're going to get a pure product. But if you put wood, hay, and stubble to the fire, it's going to burn up, and it's going to burn up quickly. It's not going to last. So we can kind of say here that we have some categories of service for the Lord. The gold, the silver, the precious stones, signifying doing what we should do for the Lord. The wood, hay, stubble, not so good for the Lord. Every man's work shall be made manifest. In verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built there upon, built on this foundation, Jesus Christ, he shall receive a reward. There's rewards. We know the five crowns that the Bible mentions. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Loss of what? Loss of reward, verse 14. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The Bible tells us our God is a consuming fire. God keeps his word. Know ye not that ye are the, what does it say? Temple of God. Don't we know that? That the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Just like the temple in the Old Testament had the mercy seat and the tabernacle there, the temple was the dwelling place of God. The mercy seat. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But we notice here that he says, you're the temple of God. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And of course, we know, we won't take the time to go into all the scriptures, but the destroy there is not loss of salvation. It's the sin unto death. It's the believer, the chastening hand of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 12. The chastening of the Lord. The Bible is very clear that we're not to sin. Romans chapter 6. Sin unto death. If we take this lightly, that we are the temple of God. This temple was to be built. How? According to the clear instructions. How are we, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God, how are we to live? According to the instructions. We have clear instructions on how to live. We are to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. We are to be built upon Him. Everything is to point to Him in our lives. Look in John chapter 2. Jesus made this clear in John chapter 2 and verse 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. The temple of his body. Speaking of the temple of his body, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. We know this scripture. What? Here it is again. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Did the temple belong to Solomon? He built it, but did it belong to him? No. It belonged to God. It was a dwelling place that God said there in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and 8. He said that he would make that his dwelling place here upon the earth. And if they would follow his teachings, he would continue to do that. And so that there, we need to understand this picture that we have clearly in the Old Testament. The Bible tells us here that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you and which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are what? Bought with a price. Just like Solomon bought the place where the temple would stand. He paid the full price. We have been bought with the full price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are to overlay this temple with gold, silver, and precious stones. Not the wood, hay, and stubble. We are to put the gold, silver, and precious stones. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. We're familiar with this passage as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 16, it says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You know, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. And he went in there once a year. And when he did go in there, they tied a string around on him so that if the offering wasn't accepted, rope on him, they could pull him out. Because they couldn't go in there. Anybody else go in there, they would die. It was a very, very holy place. It was to be separate from the things of the world. And in the holy place, the high priest could only go once a year. They just couldn't go in there. When they moved the tabernacle before they built the temple, the priests that were to move the things in the temple would come up to the veil of the temple with their backs, and they would take the veil, they would take it loose, and they would move it over the mercy seat so that never anybody was in there but the high priest who would go in once a year. That was a sacred and holy place. It was to be separate. Separate. That's an important thing for us to remember. We are the temple of the living God, and we are to touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Then go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And look here, verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So the Bible is very clear what it pictures for us. Some years ago, I did an extensive study, I think we did it on Wednesday nights, through the tabernacle. We had many lessons. I put it in a study, and I did have some copies of that, but they're all gone. I have to put it back together again. But the ark is very significant for the believer in Christ. There's no way, absolutely no way, there was in the Old Testament to have the presence of the Lord there without the ark in the midst of Israel. And when the ark was taken, they were in trouble. Well, there's absolutely no way for us to have the presence of God without Christ. He is the foundation. He said in John 15:5, without me ye can do nothing. And the children of Israel, they were led by the ark, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And that was the way God led his people. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, 22, Numbers 10, 33 to 36. And when the tabernacle was built, God came down to dwell with his people and lead them. And he will lead us in the same way. There, just as even after the temple was built there by Solomon. We have the Word of God, which is a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. According to Matthew 4:4, Jeremiah 23:29, Joshua 1:8, 1 Timothy 3:15, John 17:17, to lead us. We have the court of the tabernacle. If you study the tabernacle seriously, the court of the tabernacle pictured the way. Only the shed blood of Christ can cleanse from sin. The holy place pictured the truth. And we see that portrayed. We don't have time to go into it tonight, but I went into that in all of the study of the furniture in the holy place and how it portrays the truth. And then the final move is into the holy place, the Holy of Holies, and it pictured the life. The way, the truth, and the life. Everything in the tabernacle pictures Jesus Christ. And the articles that were placed in the ark that show to us the importance of God's leadership in our lives. The manna shows us that he will supply our every need. the rod that budded pictures the authority of God that he's placed within our lives and through the church, and then the tabernacle of the law and the law of the tables of the law, pardon me, reveal our responsibility to live by the word of God. Christ fulfilled the law for salvation. We must follow the word of God, the instructions that are given to us for serving him. And the tabernacle pictures for us the abundant life in Christ. And that only if we allow Christ to be first. If you study the tabernacle and the mercy seat and the presence of God, it's all about Christ. And it signifies, everything in the tabernacle pictures Christ. And it signifies that Christ should be first in our life. The mercy seat, there to realize that we need confession of sin to have that close walk with the Lord. And he is a forgiving God. And there are so many other things that we could bring out about the tabernacle and how it pictures that really we can do nothing without him. And then the tabernacle, actually, when you really analyze it and look at it, and you bring it over into the New Testament time, it pictures our heart. To go through the outer court, we come to faith in Jesus Christ, to the Holy of Holies. We realize our Bible reading and our prayer and our service to God is very important. And then we move into the very Holy of Holies where we give him our heart. We give him everything. We turn our life over to him. And if you study it through, you realize that when we come to that place to where he has our heart, we've reached the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. We have reached gold and the silver and the precious stones. Where when he has our heart, when he has all of me, when I am in, so to speak, the holy, holy of holies with communion in him. Yes, my body is the temple of God, but have I garnished it with wood, hay, and stubble? Is there wood, hay, and stubble there that needs to be cleaned out and got out of the way so that I will be serving my Lord like I ought to be serving him? Am I neglecting my Bible study and my prayer? Am I not reading the Bible like I should? When I read it, does my understanding go all over the place? I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about that, and I won't force myself to concentrate on the Word of God. If you don't force yourself to concentrate on the Word of God when you read it, you won't get anything out of it. Because we all know there's a real devil. And one of his ways to keep us from the Word of God is to have us thinking, well, I read my chapters today. What did you read? Well, I wasn't sure. I started reading. I got thinking about something. It brought something to my mind. Well, do you ever think who's bringing that to your mind? Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And he works on that when we read the Word of God, and he tries to keep us from our concentration on the Word of God as we read it. You know, if we don't read it to understand it, to try to understand it, to keep our concentration, wood, hay, and stubble. I read my Bible. I pray every day. Yeah, how do you pray? When you pray, as you're praying so routine, you don't really feel like that when you have prayed, you have really walked in, Hebrews chapter 4, into the very throne room of God. You're in his presence. How would you feel if I would be like this while I'm preaching? Well, you know, the Bible says that we ought to live for Christ. Well, you know, I got to get out there and mow my yard. I think I got to mow my yard. And I think I need to. Yeah, and the Bible says to do this. You know, you ought to be living for Christ every day. You know, thinking about that living for Christ. Well, I think I've been doing a pretty good job at it. What do you think you would be happy with that kind of preaching? But that's the way a lot of us pray to the Lord. We're all over the place. We don't realize that we're coming into the very throne room of God, in the very presence of our God when we pray. Our prayer time ought to be special. It ought to be a time when we really feel the presence of God. And if we're not feeling that presence of God, we need to do some checking. We need to do some confessing. We need to be some looking at our life. Because when we move into the throne room of God, we should feel His very presence. We should feel that we are in the presence of a holy and righteous God. And you know what that should do to us? It should be humbling. It should be humbling to us. And when we come into God's presence, so much of the time, we come, and yes, the Bible says to come boldly. But if you put all of the Scriptures together, we are to be ye holy, for I am holy. And it's not coming boldly to convince God that my sin is okay. It's coming boldly because we have the gold, the silver, the precious stones. We're there as a place, a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, where He's not grieved and He's not quenched, and where He can work in our life. The temple of God is holy. And the Bible tells us that we are the temple of God, and we need to be holy. Oh, it's so clear in the Bible, if we would just get it. What are you building in your temple on that foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ? You've come to faith in Jesus Christ. You've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. But what are you building in the temple? What are you building? Is it wood, hay, and stubble? You've still left that there? You know, when we all got saved, we were dead in trespasses of sin until the day we got saved. Dead in trespasses and sin. Wood, hay, stubble. What kind of a job have we done of clearing that stuff out? Are we still hanging on to some of the sins that doth so easily beset us? And are we still allowing our lives to drift away from what we ought to really be for Christ? And we're only mediocre in our Bible reading and our study and our prayer. And if we had to admit, am I a prayer warrior? We'd have to say, no, I'm far from that. Well, be a prayer warrior. Gold, silver, precious stones, work at it. Work to develop your prayer life to when you pray, you feel that coming into the very presence of your God, and you feel His presence, and you talk to Him as a real person. I'm not against using prayer lists. I use my prayer list, but I do know one thing about my prayer list, that sometimes if I'm not careful, it can become just routine. And I fly through that thing and try to get through my prayer list, and I ought not to do that. We ought to make our prayer time special with the Lord. We are talking to our God, and we are able to do that because of the mercy seat. Because we have Jesus Christ who shed His blood. The blood was placed upon the mercy seat. And because Jesus shed His blood for the remission of our sins, Hebrews 4, we have access. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. But many Christians do not get it, that we are the temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit indwells us, and we can boldly come to the throne of grace. We can present to the Savior a temple that's all lavished in gold and silver and precious stones. Or we can have the wood, hay, and the stubble. We are the temple of the living God. And if we defile that temple, The Bible very clearly tells us that our God is not pleased with it. He was not pleased in the Old Testament temple if anyone went in there with defilement, if anyone went into the Holy of Holies who was not instructed to go there. It meant death. And the same thing is true with us. Sometimes Christians wonder. But it's when we take the Lord's table. Let's go and look at it in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he spells it out very clearly for us. He tells us when we come to this Lord's table, he says in verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily." This is not presenting the gold, the silver, the precious stones. "He that eateth and drinketh unworthily drinketh damnation to himself." He's not discerning. It says, not discerning the Lord's body. Did you get that? See, we think they're the Lord's body. Who is the temple of the Lord? Ye are the temple of God. That's what he said. So we're not discerning the Lord's body here. We are not, and he says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep," or referring to death there. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." I'm not saying that all sickness that comes to believers is because of defilement of the temple. But much of it is. Much of the things that we are afflicted by, because we do not see the sacredness of the temple. Ye are the temple of the living God. And if you read everything about the Old Testament temple, it was a place that was to be built by the instructions, the way that God said. And so when we come to the Lord's table, we come to the place where we can do some house cleaning. We can be taking care of some wood, hay, and stubble, and cleaning it out, so that upon this foundation of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, His body that was broken for us, His blood that was shed, we can build upon that foundation gold, silver, and precious stones. We can live for Christ the way He wants us to live. Are we going to be perfect? No, because we're not perfect. Are we going to sin? Yes, we're going to sin. But we have 1 John 1:9. We have the mercy seat. And we need to exercise that by confessing our sin, getting back on track. We find ourselves reading the Bible and we're not concentrating. Do some confessing. Ask the Lord for help, for strength, to read this with understanding. And to read it with concentration. The Bible didn't say to read day and night. It said to meditate therein day and night. That's to keep your focus upon it. Joshua 1:8. And so I hope you'll be challenged tonight to realize the temple and how significant it is and how important it is for us to work for that gold, silver, and precious stone. And to get the wood, hay, and stubble out of our lives. And the Holy Spirit will show you what that is. If you let Him, He'll show you. If you pray about it, say, "Lord, I want my life. I want to be garnished with the gold, the silver, the precious stones. I want my life to be honoring to this foundation that I am built upon." He will show you. Trouble is, most of us, we want to live on that foundation the way we want to live. We want to do it our way. It wouldn't have worked for Solomon. If Solomon would have said to David, "Dad, I'm not going to build that temple the way you laid these instructions out that you got from God. I think it would be better to do it this way." How long do you think he'd have lasted? He'd have been gone just like that. It had to be done God's way. How come we think we can live our way and not God's way? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for guidance in the Word of God. Help us to be working for that gold and silver and precious stones. Oh, we often fail. We get caught up in the things of this world and the cares of this life, and we get off course. Help us to get on course. Seems like that wood, hay, and stubble just keeps flying back in there. It's just like with our houses. You can dust and won't be very long, the dust is back there again. That's the way it is with our lives, Father. We just, seems like the dust keeps getting in there. Help us to be diligent in keeping it cleaned out, confessing our sin, that we can present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And not be conformed to this world. Father, we pray that you'll help us. We know you will, because you said you would. We just pray that we will be willing to realize who we are. The temple. We are the temple of God. Help us not to forget that, but to live our lives to be a shining testimony for our Savior, separated from the world, we might be all that you want us to be. And that someday when we stand before you, we will have gold, silver, and precious stones, and will receive reward. Work on us, Father. We need it. Oh, I need it. Work on us to be better for you. We do love you. We thank you. And we look forward to this partaking of the Lord's table to remind us of what you've done for us, and that we should be committed to live for you. We thank you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We'll sing an invitation song here.